to interrupt our regular schedule of Unpacked with PMMI podcasts, as these are anything but regular times. Hi, I'm Sean Riley, and today we speak with Jorge Escuerdo, Vice President of Market Development for PMMI. From the earliest days of the pandemic, Jorge and his team have kept tabs on the industry with weekly pulse surveys, monthly purchasing indexes, and most recently, provided guidance on the economic future via a webinar. Jorge's data reveals that, yes, things are rough right now and it may be a struggle, but the situation is manageable for your business and the future is not nearly as bleak as it may appear. Welcome back, Jorge.
Hey, Sean. It's a pleasure to be back with you.
It seems like as soon as we got back from PAC Expo East, probably the week after, PMMI Business Intelligence jumped right into trying to get information out about the COVID-19 as it's developed into a pandemic. And you guys deployed a number of surveys and had a bunch of research. You've been running webinars. Anything you guys could do to keep members up to date as, you know, the business environment continued to change. Can you, I guess, kind of give us a little bit on how the surveys have been received and what kind of data we've gotten back from them?
Sure, Sean. First of all, it's interesting. You know, this is not our first recession, of course, here with PMMI. We've been at least gone through a couple more with this same team. So we've learned, you know, what we want to do early on, how to react, and kind of what type of information our members are looking for. In this case, I would want to touch maybe on three products that we actually updated, the three of them this week. The first one is what we call is the weekly pulse, and that's pretty much a survey from our own members, kind of asking, you know, key issues about their businesses, how they are going, in terms of business indicators like proposals, orders, specifics to COVID-19, like is their plant open or closed? Are their offices open or closed? So the first one, the weekly pulse, is updated, as you can imagine, by the name every week. And it's about the members. And it's a good tool for members to kind of benchmark what they are feeling and what the rest of the industry is feeling. The second one is the monthly purchasing index. And this is looking at the customer side of the business. And here we ask our members, customers, how they are doing in terms of investment in packaging and processing equipment. And we ask basically how they are doing this quarter versus last year, same quarter, how they are doing versus budget. And also, you know, we ask about the future, you know, what's their feeling about how investments will behave in the near future for them. The last one I want to make reference is not a survey. It's a webinar that we just had yesterday. It's a webinar from ITR. It's a group of economists that has helped us in the past several times with presentations at the annual meeting and the ELC, other webinars. And this one was titled Guidance in an Uncertain Economy. A lot of highlights in terms of what members should be expecting in the coming months, and some recommendations and to-dos for them as well. So a lot of value for the members, and certainly information from the packaging machinery industry for the packaging machinery industry.
And from what I understand, we've had these before with other recession as they've come up. You guys can then adapt them, you know, when the economy gets good again, you kind of spread them out so we don't necessarily have to run them as often, correct?
So I'm going to be honest. Yes, the answer is yes. And we already know how this works. You know, right now it's a weekly pulse. We're asking members, you know, to complete it every week. As the trends remain steady for longer periods of time, they flattened. And instead of doing them every week, we moved to do them every month. And then same thing, as business goes back to normal, we go back to do them every quarter. This is all these are normally quarter surveys, both the purchasing index and that normally we call it house business.
Yeah, unfortunately, one of the, I guess, silver linings when these bad things have happened is you kind of get a system and you learn how to deal with these, you know, when they occur again. Okay, so let's jump in on some of these and get a little more in depth on the results that have come out of them. So
Let's talk about the weekly pulse. How are the PMMI members dealing with, you know, the social distancing rules, the plants openings, the travel, stuff like that? You got some data on that you can share with us?
Yeah, sure. First of all, you know, I'm very pleased to share with you that most of the member plants have been up and running for during all these past few months, past couple of months since, I guess, early March. I would say at the height, you know, the closings of plants was at 2.8%. The reading from last week is that the closings right now are at 1.9%, so it's very low. Now, in terms of the offices, and when I refer to office closings, I mean the office itself is not open to the public. But if you call them, somebody answers. I mean, there's pretty much every office is open. This is just if people are going to the office because of the social restrictions. I got to tell you, in the end of March, it went up to 21.6% of offices were closed from our members. And it's been coming down consistently. Right now, we are at 12.5% of closings. Right now, 86% of our members have both, you know, the plant and the offices open. And again, when I mean offices open, I mean they have their staff in the office up and running. If not, the office is open, but virtually. They're on the phones and they're up for business. So in general, our members have, as many of them, are certainly essential to the economy and the food supply chain, food pharma supply chain. They are certainly up and running, and they've been up to the plate and supporting the country, really. Now, when we're talking more about the access that our members are having to their customers' plants, that's a little different. What we're finding, it's a significant number, we divide it in two categories. We divide it, one is service, the other one is sales, in terms of access to the companies. So we have a significant number of denying access to the plants. In the case of service, it's starting to come down, but it's still at the upper 60%, around 66% right now. So it's significant. When you talk about sales staff, same thing. It's starting to come down slowly, but even higher, as to be expected. The denying access to the plants is up to over 80% in the case of sales. So it's very significant and certainly affecting our members' businesses. We have several of our members sharing with us comments in terms of problems providing after sales service, starting new equipment, even delivering new equipment. That's been a problem for some of the members where they do have the equipment ready to ship, but they cannot ship it because the customers are not ready to receive it. And because of these delays, now there are some delays as well in terms of payments and this kind of situations with the deliveries. In terms of supply chain, there's also kind of pretty stable. Around 40% of our members declared some degree of disruption in supply chain. Nothing really serious at this time, but kind of minor things. But again, you know, the number is not moving up. It's shown kind of staying around the 40%. Now, I guess, Sean, you might be wondering about what's happening with orders and quotations, you know, what's happening with the future business. So it's interesting. I mean, for the past 3 years, orders and quotations have remained pretty, orders mainly have remained pretty stable, what our members are telling us. But it's kind of divided. It's one third are saying no change, it's still the same. One third is saying it's declining, and the other third is saying it's going up. And what seems to be happening here is it depends where you are and who you're selling to. if you're selling to the food industry, you would to the food and beverage industry, and I guess farm as well. They are very busy. They are running at 100%. If they are buying something, it tends to be something that they want now. If it's something that they were talking about maybe 6 months from now, they are not thinking about it right now. So I guess it depends a lot on what you sell and to who you're selling, how you're feeling business. In terms of quotations, the number of members declaring decreased number of quotations is coming down. The ones declaring increase is going up, but most of our members at 45% are declaring that it's not changing. So it seems it's kind of stabilizing to some degree. And that's, I would say, in general, you know, how's the business with our members? That's the feeling, I guess, of our members in terms of business.
Okay, so it's impacting, obviously, in different ways. It matters based off of how or what industry your main customers are coming from. You know, if you're in a food service type thing that you're serving those, it might be a little down. If you're doing retail food, it might be a little up. Pharma's going to be up. So it's different across the board. Have we seen an increase with remote monitoring or anything like that in terms of using that to service machines? Because I'm hearing that from what you said that some of that's kind of a problem.
Sean, you're absolutely right. In fact, now we're touching on the side of our purchasing index. This year, as you said earlier, yes, we tune up our surveys depending on what's happening. So this year, instead of just asking how they're doing in terms of orders, current budget and future orders, we also ask them about specifically three things: robotics, remote access, and remote monitoring. Robotics, not significant changes there. In terms of remote access, absolutely everybody's using more remote access. When you ask them about the what they think about remote access and using remote access in the future, after, you know, COVID-19, I guess, you know, at some point, everybody, it doesn't matter the industry, everybody's saying, yes, that's something that we're going to invest more resources in, more time in, and we're interested in growing it up. So this is certainly an area of opportunity for our members. As the food industry, food, beverage, pharma, mainly, I guess, food and pharma, you know, as they are going right now through a spike of demand. As that spike of demand comes down and start leveling up, off, you're going to find a number one, a lot of demand for after sales service. Many of those operations are running their equipment 24/7 and if possible, holding on maintenance. So once the situation, this spikes, is we're over the spike, number one thing we're going to see is a significant amount of service calls. So if the situation here is, number one, make sure your service technicians are up and ready. If you are able to redeploy maybe somebody else from your operations towards service, start planning for it now, start working on it. Sometimes that guy in the plant floor has the right technical knowledge to provide service. You just need to fine-tune sometimes the approach to customer service. But absolutely, that's going to be a significant demand, the after-sales service. But immediately after that is going to be demand for increased functionality for remote access. You know, in the past few years, remote access has been kind of not like, seems like a good idea, but not necessarily welcome because of concerns of cybersecurity. These days, with all these restrictions for traveling and limited access for service staff into plants, these days it seems any kind of communication, video communication, either your phone or your computer, is now considered remote access, kind of. So if you have FaceTime, now FaceTime is kind of remote access. So basically, the perception is changing significantly, much more open regarding remote access. absolutely understanding the benefits of remote access. In many cases, it's not about service in the manufacturing operation of the customers. It's about factory acceptance tests. You know, a significant number of those FATs are now being done via video. Sometimes even they are not live, they are recorded and just emailed. Sometimes they are done live via video. But my point here is everybody is now recognizing the how effective you can do with you can be with remote access, how much is needed when a situation like this occurs. And not just that, you know, how much you can save in regular operations by having access to remote access. So certainly members have a significant opportunity to offer either retrofits, upgrades, anything, you know, to offer remote access and remote monitoring and also, you know, again, be ready for after sales service after the next few weeks, you know, the next few months. Yeah.
That's two amazing points that came out of that. That you touched on it a bunch, but I, having been around this and you've been around it just over the years, trying to get people to understand the benefits of remote access and remote monitoring and the costs, like you said, that can be saved on it and the travel and stuff like that. And everybody was just so worried about the cyber portion of it. They're willing to do online banking and shop online and stuff like that, but nobody would let people in from that standpoint from remote monitoring. And now you're saying that, you know, even FaceTime has to be used in videos, and it is, I guess it's another silver lining that's kind of come out of this situation, is that people are recognizing that the remote monitoring can really be a great thing. And I hadn't even really thought about the service portion of it, that yes, while these things are going 24 hours a day, those things are being overlooked, and someone's going to have to come in and, you know, grease the wheels and fix those things once we get through this and things slow down a bit. Okay, with that all said, you've kind of given us where we are and how everybody's been doing up till now. How about the future? You said you had, I listened to The Economist. It was fascinating, especially, I mean, it was 90 minutes and I don't understand a lot of the economy, and he was able to keep me in entertained and in tune for 90 minutes. So what can you tell us about that?
Well, so Sean, let me tell you, before even moving to the economy, I want to share you this portion of the monthly economic indicator, mm-hmm. You know, that information that the customers, our members' customers are telling us.
Okay.
First of all, to be expected, pharma and personal care are very optimistic in terms of investment in packaging and processing equipment in coming quarters and for 2021. Again, that I guess that's not a surprise for anybody given the current situation. What we're listening from food and beverage, they might kind of hold on some of their investments. Still, of course, you know, there's it's a significant part of the investment for packaging and processing equipment. They're going to still be there, but they might hold on some of those investments. And that's specifically from what end-users are telling us directly. Now, talking a little more about the conversation, that presentation from our ITR, from Alex Chausovsky. You're right. I think it's, I love them. They're pretty good at presenting complicated economic topics in a very easy to understand and easy to relate to your business way. So some of the highlights that we're getting from them is they're giving us their best estimation in terms of how long it's going to be this recession, what's going to happen, when we're going to get back to the level that we were at the beginning of the year. And I guess their answer was split in two. The first part was in terms of the general economy, kind of on the consumer side, maybe the part of the gross domestic product, I guess, will be coming back towards the first quarter of 21. That's kind of the expectation. However, on the industrial side, they expect that to take a little longer. They are going down to maybe a third quarter of 21 in order to go back to the levels we had at the beginning of this year. But again, there's a lot of caveats here. When you look at the key customers for the packaging industry, you're talking about food, beverage, personal care, pharma, and some industries. You know, they have been certainly, as we were talking about pharma and personal care, they are actually investing, they are growing, and they are pushing projects in terms of packaging equipment. Others are still investing, and I think that for the members, you know, that recovery won't be that late in 2021. I think we're going to find it earlier, more on the first and second quarters of 21. So when we asked Alex a little more in terms of the future and kind of opportunities, things to pay attention to, one of the things that I thought it was interesting, you know, he said that one of the impacts that they are expecting to see in the industry in general, globally, is reconsidering the supply chain that CPGs are currently working with, making them shorter, what they call near sourcing trends, and sometimes develop alternate sourcing opportunities. So this means some of the things that maybe we're currently manufacturing either in Asia or in other parts, we might find them coming back either to the US or to Canada and Mexico, kind of getting closer to us, and that potentially bringing some opportunities for the members. We talked already about the spike that we've seen in food and beverage. Yes, that spike is going to level off, but still the industry is going to be there, and they have a good potential for growth in coming years. Finally, the one thing that I thought it was very interesting, Sean, is the recommendations, specific recommendations that Alex gave to the members for their own businesses. And this is not, sometimes when you talk about the economy, you think about this macro level. And I guess the one thing I like from IT, they do a very good job at bringing down those big numbers into what that means to your business. So the first thing they made reference to is cash flow. It's really, really do a very good job at projecting your cash flow for the next three quarters. Be very careful, take care of your cash. And that's linked with their second suggestion. They say take advantage of government programs like the CARES Act. Take a close look at your relationship with banks. Review your lines of credit. Make sure that they are there. They are refresh them if you need to, just in case. But you know, certainly you need to be very careful with your cash flow and access to cash in different ways. The third recommendation that they share with us is, as you're looking after your own financial well-being, you need to also look at the financial well-being of supplier and customers. Speak to them, check, are they going to be able to go through this situation and still supply your materials, hold the contracts for new orders. Speak to them daily, every month, consistently, and pay lots of attention to what they say. The next part is, it's in terms of recovery rates. Again, you know, many of our members have the benefit of working with industries that tend to be to have certain degree of resilience during recessions, you know, like food, beverage, pharma, personal care. So that's great, but still, you know, keep an eye on them. See which ones are bouncing back at what rate, and concentrate your efforts in those industries. It's look at your industries, look at your customers in that way. And finally, you know, it's more at looking at all these. You look at all these trends, all these numbers as it happens in the macroeconomy, as it happens in different industries. Look at those numbers internally at your own company. Develop your own rate of changes, your own trends, understand what's happening inside of your own business. That will help you project what you need to do, what decisions you need to take, and go through this COVID bump in 2020 and 2021.
That's, I was still writing down that last one from the 5 points that I had to do for managing my future. And that's why there was a little bit of a pause there. Because it's so true that, like you said, they'll speak for 90 minutes and you'll come out of it with these 5 bullet points that perfectly sum up exactly what you need to do. I can't say enough or thank you enough for the time that you've given us and the information you've given us. I mean, we just jammed a lot of what's happening right now, what everybody's going through, but kind of what we think is going to happen and how we think we can, you know, come out of this from an economic standpoint with our, with the different things that you guys provide from PMMI Business Intelligence. So I just want to thank you again for coming on the pod with us, Jorge, and take care of yourself.
Hey, Sean, it's always a pleasure to chat with you. And just to remember the members, all this information is available in our website. It's pmmi.org/coronavirus. All the information, everything that we've talked about is there. If you have any questions, please let us know. We'll be more than happy to help you.